So all you Wednesday nighters know that I have mastered the TV on Wednesday at least, right? So we'll have no problems tonight. That's another story. Yeah, I'm not giving up there. So we should be fine. We should be fine. Well, I'm glad I could bring that to you. Yeah, thank you. Just kidding. I just wanted to, again, we're getting into, as you know, November, and we should always be in a posture of thanksgiving, no matter if Thanksgiving's around the bend or not, because we have so much to be thankful for, right? I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it helps us in many ways to recenter our lives, to recenter our purpose, to recenter just who God sees us, too, and how we are and how we see Him, too. I was... a phrase I heard today, which is not a new phrase, if I remember it now, it was, I am yours and you are mine. Notice the order, though. No. Notice the order, though. I am yours and you are mine. If we get that mixed up, don't let me go off on the gospel of I, but if we get that mixed up, it seems so slightly different. It can make a trajectory in a different area. Because now if I think that, this isn't the message, but now if I think that you are mine and I am yours, you're serving me. And that's not the gospel. Again, life happens. I saw this the other day. Life happens, but this person was at a college, and a young student came and said, "Well, how can you defend God, how He lets bad things happen to good people?" And it's a question we've always heard before. And this theologian just steps up with love and says, "We were dirt first. We were dirt first." It's not to put ourselves down, but let's remember where we came from and who created us. Right. It's almost a Job mentality, like, why is this happening? And he reminds Job that, wait, where were you when I hung the stars in the sky and made waves of an ocean? I am yours, and you are mine. Hold fast to that. Seems so simple, but I mean, we'll talk about Sunday. Who knows? Because I got to take the pressure release off this in time stuff. But thankfulness. I just wanted to do a worship song. You don't need to stand. Just let it minister to you. But we know this song. It's an old time song, but it's so powerful. Just to start off tonight, to be thankful with a grateful heart. Because we're going to talk about the matter of heart tonight. So it may be fitting. We'll see. I don't know. I know a whole bunch. Yeah, it's a song that goes way back. So you can YouTube it and definitely find that. But yes, there's some songs that are good to pour over your soul, and that is certainly one of them, giving thanks. Believe it or not, there's a lot of power in giving thanks, right? Because it begins to lift off of us anything of our expectation and focus entirely on the expectation of who God is and what He'll do in our lives. And it breaks a lot of bondage too, giving thanks. Some of you may be in a position of waiting for healing in your life or an answer for something in your life, and you may be just at the doorstep of just giving thanks in advance. It may feel advanced, but it's there. So, but give thanks. Grateful heart. We're going to talk about matters of the heart. Many of us know Proverbs 3, certainly know the book of Proverbs is a great book when we want to look into wisdom and understanding, written by Solomon, as you know, who had a lot of wisdom in his life. He made a lot of mistakes in his life too, but he had a lot of good wisdom in his life. And I think God took those good things and preserved that for us even November 2025, right now, today. Because we can get this. But I wanted to approach Proverbs 3 from an angle of the heart. I mean, we know, we talk about a lot of things at church which are good. things we need to do, like a great watering system so we'll grow, you know, your devotion, your praying, and all the things you need to do, and you need to do that. But a lot of it is only effective as how our heart is towards it. Yeah. We know many things. We have a physical heart, we all know that. But then in the sense of the divine, spiritual, and biblical sense of heart, it is really the epicenter to us, of who we are. It connects to our soul, obviously, which is more of an exterior thing, our mind, our will and emotions, they exhibit that. But that heart is really that driving ethos of our life and why we do things. You'll hear people say many times that, you know, that person has a heart for children, right? Knows that they see the big value. I mean, they're drawn to whatever they can do in their calling or whatever to do that. From a romance part of it, some of us in the room would be saying, I want to give you my heart, right? From a romance, if we're married or dating or wherever we are in life. And then certainly when it comes to the realm of salvation and becoming a Christ follower, at some point the saying is, did you give Jesus your heart? Right? So the heart is the epicenter of a lot of things that we do. And it's only as whole as what we put in it. We can have a broken heart, right? I mean, life happens. But thank God we have Jesus walking along with us in the Holy Spirit. But we can have broken hearts over situations, unexpected things. But it's so important as Christ followers to know there is some great ingredients that we can put into our heart. So it beats wholeness, and again, we can look more like Christ along the way and have a fulfilling life in Christ. Because we could do a lot of exterior things and still have an achy or broken heart, and God's saying, well, but you're not fully satisfied yet. We did a message a while ago, a year ago, whatever, called the wholeness of God. And God wants you whole, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe the epicenter of that being whole is the pumping of that is from your heart. Amen. and knowing. Thank you, Mom. And knowing. That's all good. It's all good. Hey, good medicine for the heart. So we're gonna get into Proverbs. Most of the first few chapters, the way Solomon's view is this, is he's writing it as a father to a child. Which what better way really to begin in an early growth pattern of our life. We've all been children, right? And some of us are still working that out. But yeah, we're all been somewhere as children. But it's such a great example how Solomon was led to write it this way the first few chapters, because, I mean, those early stages in our life are what really help develop our heart. So it's important. So the first 8 to 9 to 10 verses we're going to go through, they're great ingredients to having a wholeness in your heart. Having a wholeness where your heart is whole and you're living the life God has called you to do, and you're able to walk through and in through life, not just for yourself, but it's big enough for others around you too, to affect lives around you. And so we'll get into this. And a lot of this scripture is all familiar, but I would ask you to look at it through a lens of ingredients to making your heart whole and how it is. So we'll go through that right now. Here's a quote, I think. Yes, this is a great quote I found. It says, the human heart feels things the eyes cannot see and knows what the mind cannot understand. It's your ethos. It's your ground zero to you and what you do and the depths of how you do it and why you do it. So let's jump into Proverbs 3:1-4. Here we go. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commandments, aka teachings as well, in your heart. So one good ingredient to have a whole heart is taking godly and divine and word of God, I don't have my Bible with me, but teachings and medicine and prescriptions in here, to take these commandments and put them in your wallet, on your refrigerator, that's okay, but he's saying put them in your heart. That's one ingredient to go into that heart. If you do this, now he's going to say, if you do some of these ingredients, here's what will happen. If you do this, you will live many years. But not just that, and your life will be satisfied. I don't know if I want to live many years and my life is not satisfied. Those are long years, right? But many years and it will be satisfied. He goes into the next ingredients that he wants you to put in your heart, or just things that you need to learn. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. As he uses that over and over through Proverbs about tying things around your neck where they're so close to you. Write them deep within your heart. Okay, so if I never have loyalty and kindness leave me, what is the result of that if I have that in my heart? It says, then you will find favor with both God, in order of importance, God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Let's camp here for a minute. Loyalty. Certainly from the sense of our Christianity, our loyalty to our Savior, Messiah, and soon coming King. Loyalty to Jesus, to God, to the Holy Spirit, being respectful that He's with you every day. I have a loyalty to my faith that is in those things I just mentioned. And it's something that we go to growth spurts through that will never move me or shift me. No event can move me or shift me from my loyalty from God. Amen? And things will come that will try and shift you. But keeping your loyalty to that. So that is obviously the vertical sense of loyalty. But then the horizontal, I believe Solomon's talking about, hey, can you just be loyal to your friends and your family? It's not a bad thing to do either. Our loyalty to them, meaning what I say is what I do. People don't have to second guess what I'm saying and doing and questioning who I really am. Is my character very present? Not perfect all the time, but is it present? You know who that is. Never let loyalty in those areas. And my goodness, in 2025 and beyond, can we just have some kindness? Obviously, kindness to the Lord is reverency, I would think, and the majesty of who He is, and being faithful in our devotion of kindness. And yes, God can handle our disappointments, our anger, or whatever, but just knowing that kindness goes a long way in any relationship. Christians are Christ followers. So he's not, I believe he's not even talking, again, on the horizontal sense when we're one to another kindness, I don't think he's just talking about kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That should be a given commandment early on, right? That's a given. That's not an assumption that, hey, a suggestion you should be. But I believe he's going further to say even let kindness spread beyond your Christian circle. But let it be kind to those who maybe don't even believe in God. Or a lost, we could call, or whatever we want to call them, that don't even know things. But yet, sometimes when things happen, Christians look to be the most meanest people around. In debates, and knowing what we're against more than what we're for. We've lost the element of kindness. Jesus seemed to hold a good level of kindness no matter where he was. And again, he spoke to the Pharisees a certain way, but it was in love to direct them for an intentional purpose. But kindness is so important. It goes a long way. Because kindness at some point leads to some sort of rope to your heart that gives that you're about love more than anything else. And showing love for your people around you. So it's saying, don't let it leave you. Tie it around your neck. Write these things deep in your heart. And then this is so important. Then you will find favor. As pastors, we'll get from time to time people that come to us, and we have these own questions too. It's like, I'm stepping out in this area. I feel I'm called to do something, or we're going to do something this. We have some decisions to make, or we need prayer for something. We need answers. And we want to make sure we're going in the right direction. There'll be another scripture in that in just a minute. Most of the times what we'll say, because of our own life and what we've followed, is we would say, if you can sense godly favor in wherever you are right now, follow that. Because it becomes so evident that only God can be doing this. Sometimes it's with favor with people you never thought you would have. I'm like, that's a God thing. And God will turn things around for you, and it can be through favorable situations. follow the favor. And it's saying if you get favor, both with God and people, you'll earn a good reputation. God and people. So important, but we can't lose loyalty and kindness and forget about it. That's the key ingredient to that. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And we know this one very well, right? Again, matters of the heart we're thinking tonight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. First main ingredient, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We're Faith Christian Center. We believe in faith, and faith is mainly your whole lifetime, a response to something. You know, we respond to things. The exterior of that faith, if I can break this down a little bit, the exterior of your response in faith. So if something happens, your response in faith is God's in control. That's a faith statement. That's a response to something. It's not like, oh my God, what am I going to do? My was faith. Now the exterior of that should be trust. People are like, what are you doing? I'm trusting that God's in control. I am trusting the exterior of that. Inside, the faith is where it is and who He is, but the trust is the exterior part of that. So I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. And this is so, this fine thing right here can lead you in two different directions. It says, do not depend on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. We know this. We live in a world with cell phones, TVs, everything, friends and family that want to prophesy over you. We live in an opportunity to have an information highway invade our mind every day. Every day. And you need to be careful with that. But what that information highway can do is seep into certain areas and create an understanding in you that is not godly sometimes. So we begin to lean on my own understanding. I began to link other people's experiences of something that maybe didn't work to say, well, it's not going to work for me. Now it's all my understanding. I begin to get these all understandings that are not biblical, whatever the Word of God would say, difference. And then that begins to define me and my tomorrow. And that, you can't do both. Then I'm not trusting in the Lord. Right? It sounds simple, but when things are happening, you need to know where you are in this. Am I trusting in the Lord with all my heart? Meaning I am literally letting go. Surrender, exactly. I am letting go, surrendering, so God can be in control of whatever the situation is. Because when I begin to lean on my understanding, I need to build under my own understanding. Then I need to sustain it through my own understanding of whatever the situation is. And I may not have the outcome that I hope for if I just trusted in the Lord. We know these things, but when they're there, where are you? This is the other ingredient to this. Seek His will. I'm trusting that your will is better than my will. Even though my understanding says I'd rather move to Florida and be under a palm tree right now because it's getting winter. But I'm trusting in you that you know where I am right now and you have me placed where I need to be right now. So just a shallow illustration. And I know your will is greater than my will. We are gifted with a will. Second best thing other than salvation. You were gifted with a will to do what you want. And God will not violate that in many, many cases. But we got to understand that His will is better than our will. What did I say earlier? And I didn't mean to be insensitive when I said that, but we were dirt at one point. We were. And God took that dirt and by the power of His love and His word created man and women, a man and a woman in His image and gave life to us. But His will is always the best will, even in our prayer time. We're not saying, well, I don't know how to pray, if your will be done. No, it is, Lord, your will needs to be done. But if you've been hanging out with the person who you know who His will is, you know what He wants done. So being in the presence and being with God, say, I want your will above all wills. Because it is, there's been times where I had my stubborn will, and I thought it was the right thing to do. And I would begin to walk in that direction of what this is. This was years ago, not just last week. All right, 2 weeks ago. No. But I begin to walk in my own decision. And then I get discernment and hearing other things that, no, even though this looked like the right way, because it looked good, but not everything good is God, right? It looked good. It looked like I should say yes to that. But as we begin to walk down that, it's like, whoa, this is not God, because A, there's no favor, and I'm having trouble trusting him. So we did a rewind. Okay, let's go back. What is your will? Let's pray that out and figure that out. So, but it's so important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And for you control freaks, that can be tough. Because we want to have the pulse on everything we're doing and ending sentences. I do that sometimes with people. But we want to have control. We want, even in our human nature, we always want to have the final resolve of something, right? That's why movies make a lot of money. They have a great ending most of the time. We want that resolve. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on understanding. And guess what, though? Here's what will happen. He will show you which path to take. I don't know which way to go, Pastor. And those are honest questions. Okay, are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? You're not trying to make all the calculations by human understanding, maybe. And again, we can use that to some degree to help us. But are you seeking his will? And he'll show you the right path. He'll show you the right path. What you prepare for today and putting in your heart will help what comes out tomorrow, if that makes sense. Because it sounds simple, we talk about it. Yeah, oh yeah, it's great. Okay, let's see what happens tomorrow. No fear, but if you're walking in these prescriptions and these ingredients, then it is the Word of God. It will work. It will. He will carry you. He will guide you. But you got to put it in today. So then, Solomon starts putting the mirror on us. It was already on us, but now it's even more. He says in verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Yeah, but look what I did. And you may have. Look what you did. Don't be impressed. I mean, we live in a culture that elevates human wisdom very good. If you got a great idea, look what can happen. If you've invented something, look what can happen. And those are great things. But Solomon's saying, but it can have you that you believe that you were the originator of all that wisdom, and then you become your own God in one sense. And then God can't be in that place, and nor does he want to be. So don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, boy, we all need this. This is probably the best prescription in this whole chapter. Fear the Lord. Doesn't mean we're, to some it may. It simply means that you're aware of who God is and who you are. I said dirt earlier. It's insensitive again, but fear the Lord. The awness, the majesty, the greatness, the reverence of God, of the universe. And he knows your name. And knowing that it's his ball, I know Pastor John used to do this great. It's his ball, it's his bat, it's his playing field. And not that he's not loving to let us on it, but remember who's originated everything around you and in you. Fear the Lord. When we begin to, this is another message, we begin to stop fearing the Lord is when we begin to compromise in weaknesses in our life. Because I'm not fearing. If I had something, a weakness in my life, I begin to look at that and I don't fear the Lord more and say, whoa, God's greater than that. And we become victims of that. But fearing the Lord and turn away from evil. So here comes a healing scripture, guys. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. What do the doctors say? They're professionals. We don't discount that. That's what they've said. But don't be impressed with the wisdom of that. That is all defining. Because God is God. Right? Don't be impressed with your own wisdom that you're getting from the doctor. This is why it happened. This is what's going to continue. And this is what the road you're led on for the rest of your life. Don't be impressed with your wisdom and the doctrine of wisdom that he gave you, that now is your wisdom that you're partaking in and meditating in and chewing on. They're facts. I'm not denying that. But then it says, instead, fear the Lord. Wait a minute. God is greater than any illness that could ever exist in my body. And your majesty can always transform any tragedy of anything. So I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks, what we sang earlier. I'm going to fear the Lord. And then I'm going to turn away from evil. I'm not going to get so anxious and start getting into something that would be contradictory of what God would say about health in myself. Healing. And Solomon says at the end, he says, well, if you do these things, don't rest in your wisdom, think it's great. Fear me, fear the Lord. Turn away from any evil that can help incubate back to that wisdom. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. That's big. We don't quote that much for healing scriptures. That's a scripture for healing. And there's wisdom that comes all the way in that. So we could get that in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8. Let's keep going. It kind of shifts in the chapter here. But he keeps giving us some ingredients to have that wholeness of heart that we talked about, the matter of the heart. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Oh, Pastor, this was good up until now. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Usually in Old Testament, New Testament, that's 10%. Your best first fruits are the best of what you're producing. Part of everything you produce. Then you will fill, there's something that good can come out of this. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow with good wine. All you fermenters love that. Good wine, right? With grain and vats overflow with good wine. So the Lord's saying, honor him with your wealth. It's not really yours in the first place, right? He's saying, I'm just asking for your first fruits, for your first part of that, because it's the best part. Give that to me. And then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats and overflowing with good wine. That's a recipe for abundance, sounds like to me, right? I know he's talking about food and drink, but that's in every area of our life. We pray over that with the tithes and offerings all the time. Give us that fulfillment, the wholeness that you've created as we're obedient in response to you in our giving, not only provide in our wallets, but also provide in our soul and certainly in our heart, in our relationships. And he will be Jehovah in all of those areas when we honor him. Keeps going. My child, don't reject. He had to put this right after this. It's very strategic. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline after talking about wealth, right? And don't be upset when he corrects you. No matter what age we are, we're probably going to become into a situation where God has to correct us, right? Whether it's the way we're thinking or just doing with all the best intentions. And we see in other scriptures, wouldn't a loving God do that? He would not be loving if he didn't, just like a father or mother correcting their kids, correcting them to align them to where they want to be in health and life. So Lord's discipline, don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves. Just as a father corrects a child whom he delights, as we've talked about. Continue. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. The one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver or her wages or better than gold. He goes on, wisdom is more precious than these other physical attributes that we put such great value on. Precious than rubies, nothing that you can desire can compare with her. Solomon changes that up to talk about wisdom as a she. Is that a lot of that in the Old Testament? She offers you, husbands, you hear that, right? She offers you long life and her right hand. Let's go back a little bit. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Divine wisdom, I'd like to add. Divine wisdom and gain understanding. You can have knowledge of something, and then you can get deeper and have wisdom in that knowledge, But then you can go even deeper and have understanding in that wisdom. So there's those three stages. Knowledge. I know electricity is a helpful thing. Wisdom. I know not to put my finger in a light socket that's turned on. Or a toaster with a fork when it's on. Understanding. I'm probably not going to do that if my toast is stuck in the toaster right now. By putting my fork in, because I have wisdom, you follow me? I have wisdom not to do that. A lot of us Christians have a great bunch of knowledge, whether they can quote scripture or whatever, but they don't have deep wisdom of what that really means. Yet, how can you ever learn to apply it? And if you learn to apply it, that's your understanding. So, knowledge, we can all get knowledge. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. That's great knowledge. Okay, half of the church is in that. Yes, I have knowledge of that. That's great. Well, how about wisdom, what that really means? That if I believe in Jesus, I can have eternal life? That's great. But then there's another step. How about you applying that and have full understanding in that, to apply it now? See, it's good to have wisdom, but if you don't know how to apply it, that's really not good any understanding. You're just full of knowledge and wisdom. Does that make sense? A little bit. But if we don't have all three, we're pretty much just, I don't know. I mean, we need to have all three. And this is what Solomon's saying. If you can have all these things, it's better than gold. It's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. She offers you long life with her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. She will guide you down delightful, here we go, paths again. All her ways are satisfying. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Wisdom is the tree of life. We've heard that before, even in the gardening, the tree of life. To those who embrace her, happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. So he's talking about how great this type of wisdom is, that we're even being a beneficiary of being shared upon to even be able to have wisdom in life. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. Again, the application of the wisdom. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forward and the dew settled beneath the night sky. Solomon's articulating that God is all of this. And look what it produced. And yet we are not God. Amen. We don't preach that we're God. But we have some of that benefit of that same godly wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Don't lose sight. Okay, so deep fountains. And he's talking about what he did at the foundation of this earth. And that came through how powerful wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is. Then he goes back and resets. My child, can we go back to the beginning? Don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. I hear, again, I've done this too. Oh, the devil's after me. Why, what happened? Well, this and this happened. I'm like, no, it just sounds like you don't have common sense sometimes. God gave you a brain, and you just don't have a lot of common sense sometimes. And you certainly don't have discernment, probably what the right thing to do was. So Solomon's saying, don't lose sight. Have common sense and discernment. Some of us, the Christians, can be so heavenly minded that we're earthly useless in a sense. And I'm being nice, but just God gave us common sense. Common sense. Because he's our designer. It's all installed in our... But then discernment is important. Especially when we get back to that information highway we were talking earlier. We've got so much opportunity to feed on so much information, and then some understanding can come in there, and knowledge can just sit in there, and you try and decipher wisdom in that too. But it's so important when you get all this to know that you can find discernment. And my experience is that discernment comes usually when I actually have conversations with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, you're here today. I need discernment. I don't know what's right or wrong at this point. But you do, and you can guide me in truth. Help, help, 911, discernment. Sometimes I've done this, and you can ask my wife. I run out too fast and make decisions and didn't have discernment. Usually when I do that, I go back and say, well, what were you thinking? Well, I didn't probably have a lot of common sense. And I certainly didn't take time and hear from the Holy Spirit in this. Yeah, but I'm just buying a new car, right? I don't need discernment in that. Get him involved in everything you can. Get him involved. He's waiting. So it says, hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. We know, again, the soul is our OS system, the original OS system, our mind and will and emotion, that exterior thing. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. That's a good day. You can go to bed with, he goes further. Wait a minute, if you have the common sense and discernment, the matter of the heart, your feet will not stumble. But he goes even further. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disasters. He's not saying they won't come. Sudden disasters or destructions that come upon you, that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. If I'm resting Him, I'm trusting in Him, every focus is towards Him. The Holy Spirit is my discernment. Jesus is my Savior. And I'm laying it on that. The Lord is your security, no matter what is going around you. There will become a time, and we won't get into it much right now, but towards the end of the age, where in righteous judgment, I say this, the wicked begin to fall. Whatever they're doing, they're becoming accounted, and God's like, okay, we've let it gone on a little bit too long, and now you're reaping what you've sowed. So when that happens, don't be fearful either, because if you are secure with the Lord and protected, this is how I fight my battles. Remember that song? Yes. This is how I fight my battles. When it feels I'm surrounded, I'm only surrounded by you, which is enough, basically. I'm surrounded by you. He will keep you from your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. So now he's changing again. So back on us, our responsibility there. He's saying, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. Righteous Christians, we need to be careful. None in this room or myself, but sometimes you get righteous Christians like, she just got a new something, or he got something like that. Maybe they deserved it. Maybe God's rewarding them and they're walking in favor. They're trusting. Why can't you applaud that? Don't withhold good. That's great. Praise God. God is so faithful. But when they deserve it, in your power to help them too. What about people that need help? Our brothers and sisters to our left and to our right. Do good. If you can help your neighbor. Neighbor is just somebody close to you. Now, don't say, come back tomorrow. This is continuing the thought. And then I'll help you. I don't have time for that. I've got to pray even harder about that. No, help. Jesus was pretty clear about that. Especially in this room. Remember the Last Supper? Jesus said some of his last few words. Oh, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. The world will know you. How educated you are, how well you can quote scripture across the aisle. The world is going to know us, how we love one another around us. So important. And a challenge at times. But Solomon's saying, don't go say, I'll help you at a later date. Especially when the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You're getting that, right? He pricks your heart. Like, no, go talk to them. Go do something for them. Well, I'm just so busy. No, do it. And I've done that too. Do it. Urgency is usually urgency, if you're feeling that. Don't plot harm against your neighbor. Even ones next door who don't cut their bushes or something. Don't plot harm against your neighbor. For those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without a reason when no one has done you harm. Half the world has a disposition that they're ready to fight at any moment. Let's not be a part of that, he's saying. Winding down here. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Pastor, I never got in a fist fight. No, I don't do that. Yeah, but what have you been saying sometimes? Well, I'd say, what have you been? I don't envy violent people. People that false prophets or just people that are tearing people down, gossiping, yelling, blah, 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 blah. And then we get in that too. I'm envying you because the way, you know, you're angry or talking, and we adapt that. He's talking about that too. It may not be with a fist, but it may be with a mouth. Copy their ways. Such wicked people are distasteable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. The Lord curses, so he's going black and white here. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. The Lord will even mock the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. This wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. This gets in the area of, God, are you there? There's so much evil around us. Mocking myself as a Christian or whatever, persecution. But God has his time. He'll do it. He mocks the mockers. Things will happen, like we were talking about earlier. All right, we'll end with this scripture on the heart. We know it. Jesus is beginning his ministry. It's beginning, they're getting to, crowds are starting to form, and miracles and signs and his teachings are so enriched and challenging, which they should be, to the listener. And things are starting to grow in the ministry. And Jesus, we did this, I think, in a message called The Climb. He begins to climb a mountain or a hill, Mount Olives. He just walks up there with the disciples, come with me. We've got to talk. I need to teach you something that the others can't hear right now because they won't understand. And he does this. He goes up and does the Sermon on the Mount, which are simply practices, principles, to help build kingdom here and now. And he gets to, I mean, obviously we know the first one. It says, blessed are the ones that are poor in spirit, right? Then he says, blessed are the ones that mourn, they will be comforted. Then he gets to this one. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Imagine that. We'll see God. Pure in heart. Matters of the heart. If you have a broken heart, God will heal it. But it's so important to know that we have a wholeness of heart as Christ followers, that we're trusting in the Lord, that we're not leaning away from kindness and loyalty, things that we're about to, let me look at it. I think I have a slide here about it. Now let me go back as we recap this. Proverbs 3, it's a matter of the heart. Don't forget and lose how the importance of loyalty and kindness is. If we do that, Solomon was writing that we'll find favor. But you can't buy that. I mean, maybe Rhode Island politicians, but you can't find that in the kingdom. You've got to get loyalty and kindness. And then divine wisdom and divine understanding. So important to have those. We have a lot of knowledge because we've been in church long enough. But translating that into wisdom and understanding, the enemy really gets shaky when that happens. When you begin to know wisdom and understanding of what you already know. We know a lot. That's a whole other message. Trust him over anything. Over what doctors are saying. Again, listen to what it is. But put it against the Word of God and the Spirit of God, what the Holy Spirit can do. His path for you, he can guide you in a clear path. It may not be a straight path. Woohoo, I need my clear path. It's a clear path, but it may not be a straight path because you know what? He wants to still walk with you because you're going to need him along the way. Honor him with your resources. I talked about wealth. He is our security. Is he your security in everything? Him. Not just in what he can do. He can do those things. But is it him? Grace to the humble. Having humility is so important. And this is kingdom thinking with this foundation, because if we have a whole heart beating, we will be satisfied, but not just for ourselves, but we can help those around us, pointing to a loving God that can help us. Matters of the heart. Why don't we stand? No, actually, we're going to stand. Craig, come on up in a second, my friend, as we're praying. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful tonight that we get to hear the Word of God. And certainly in the area of wisdom and understanding. Thank you that you're not a God that just leaves us on our own for us to figure it out. But you give us ingredients and prescriptions to have that wholeness of heart so that everything can flow out of it. Lord, we know even in Proverbs later on in the scriptures it said, out of the heart flow the issues of life. Lord, let that issue be one and only, that you are God and God alone. Lord, if there's anyone that may need to trust in the Lord more and push away and push out some of their own understanding, Holy Spirit, guide them in that. Let them step out in faith as a response, that they're trusting in you and whatever the situation is. Thank you for loving them to guide them and show a clear path in that way. Lord, if some of us have just as Christ followers forgot that how important loyalty and just kindness is, reinstall that into our heart and allow us to see people around us the way you see them, which help breed that loyalty and kindness. Lord, we're just so thankful that you love us and you're leading us, guiding us. Lord, let us also know that we can be an answer to the person to our left and to our right at times as a church body and a church community and certainly a family of God. Holy Spirit, give us that discernment when we need to step out and go that extra inch to find out how somebody's doing and to listen and get wisdom to help give that discernment towards us, Lord. Because we only want to see with your lens how you love people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Well, Craig's got a lot of wisdom, so I'm just saying, no, no, he does. I just wanted to bring him up for a minute because he has been inspiring to me and to many others of just his heart for evangelism, okay? And it's part of our discipleship. It's not like, oh, there's the teacher, there's the event. No, it's growing your faith, sharing your faith. It's part of how we grow individually, not just sitting, which is part of it. But and Craig has really spearheaded a lot of things. He's been helping us with CityQuake and Aftershock, which is coming up. I just wanted to bring him up to encourage you and just to hear his heart, right, and what he's doing in this. And I believe as a church body, we're growing into this because it's something that God is calling us into. So I appreciate you stepping up and talking. Thank you, Craig.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, really.
No. Anyway, so ever since CityQuake, we've been basically just taking what CityQuake taught us, you know, how to love people, how to pray for people, how to, you know, connect with people, how to just really just reach out to the community and truthfully, ways I've never done before. But it was remarkably, it worked well. And it still works well. It's been 7 weeks is this Thursday, 7 weeks since CityQuake. And we've been going out every week doing what they call Aftershock, which is basically doing what we learned. And so we've been doing that, and we've been seeing people get healed right at Walmart. We've been seeing people give their life to Christ all over the place, in Walmart, everywhere else, all the different stores, Home Depot, you know. So people have been just giving their life to the Lord. There's been people coming to church from there, you know. So God's just saving people and helping people, just like he said in his word he would. nothing special here except for God. You know, God's doing it, you know. And tomorrow night we're going to have another aftershock here at the church. And it's real quick. It's real simple. Mm. We spend 15-20 minutes here at the church, and then we head out and find a place to do what we do for like an hour. And it's real quick, real easy. And you'll be amazed how much, you know, how they say practice makes perfect. That's a lie. But anyway, but practice does make a lot better, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And the more you practice this, it really becomes more natural. It actually becomes easier. And it really does flow really nicely. The way we do it is if you're not confident and you're like, which none of us are, but some of us are more confident than others because we've been doing it more. And you just kind of go out with us, you know. So it's, you don't really have to do much. You can just go out and watch, you know. But or you can share and do what we're doing, which you're gonna want to, because it's really actually gets fun actually. So we've just seen remarkable things for the last 7 weeks, and I think we're gonna keep it going. I think right
we're
somehow.
We're gonna put something together. Like
but
that.
Just Absolutely. Something we're gonna just keep doing it because I believe God just wants to touch people and save people and heal people, and this community's feeling the love of God. I'm telling you, when we're out there. I walked up to one guy, and I just said, hey, I just wonder if I could pray for you. He's like, pray for me? I've been wondering about my salvation. And he was a Catholic, and he's like, I'm afraid of my salvation. I'm like, I was simply able to pass him to the gospel and show him the gospel. And it was so simple. It was God. You know what I mean? God will use any of us. So
That's good. Thank you, Craig. Yeah. And it's, you know, CityQuake was great. It lit some fires, which it needed to, and some great teaching in that. And part of that discipleship of what Christ said, go and make disciples. And it may look different from every other person, but it's just being available where you are at. So what we do with Aftershock, and Craig's been great with Cindy too as well, his wife, to help lead some of that. And we will do something in the near future, the beginning of the year, where we may do something where we go out in groups. Because here it is, we're not trying to sell you a program. Those don't work. we're inviting you into a process. It's a process, and it's something that yes, you would maybe do something with what we do as a church. But that's just the process that you'll do on your own at some point organically, because it'll become part of you. And I know if you sat and talked with Craig a lot when he starts it, and Cindy, it's like, well, this is what I was designed for to almost be. Bring hope to the broken heart of people, because there's a dying world, and Satan continues, well, I'm not getting the message, but Satan continues to get in our heads this false sense that people aren't waiting for us. But they are. Not everybody, but that's okay. But most are. A prayer, an introduction to God and how much they're loved. And that's what we teach. It's all in the office. It's all in the importance of love. But these are just processes that we do that you'll just do organically someday, because it's a part of discipleship. Leading people to Christ, showing them hope. And it may not be standing up and preaching, but it may be just showing them kindness, like we talked about. Some people don't even get that. So it's an amazing thing. So thank you, Craig. But yeah, if you can come out to Aftershock, that'd be great. We'll continue to do something like this at the beginning of the year or into February, I think, or March. But keep praying. Pray this. This is a dangerous prayer, but would you do it maybe? I don't know. You don't have to do it right now. But pray this, because it's dangerous. Because the devil doesn't like this prayer. You can pray a lot of the things, but he doesn't like that. Lord, use me today. Devil doesn't like that at all, because that's where kingdom is coming down and transforming lives around us by the love of Jesus. So, all right, we prayed. We love you guys. Thanks for coming out, and we hope to see you Sunday. All right, enjoy the rest of your week. Blessings.